My brother Sam.
Hey. Welcome, everybody. This is the next to last week of huddle. And so next Wednesday will be our last huddle until Labor Day. We usually start the first Wednesday after Labor Day. And you don't want to miss next week. There's a guy standing right back there, Mr. Stan Ridlin, that's going to come and share. And I just read his, is that your first book published? First of many to come?
Yes.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah, he's got some stories.
I was talking about it yesterday. There may be another. I've done so much more since that went to print. So
I know you're going to have something exciting to share that God's giving you next week. So come next week, our last Wednesday, gals, you get the summer off. And let's let them know how much we look here to come to this room right now. Thank you all. So the last week, this week, and next week were all speakers that were asked at a last minute. So I don't know how you guys would handle that, but I know that's a tough thing. You get a call, and a few days later, you're speaking up in front of huddle. So I want to introduce you to a good friend of mine, Paul Sutherland, who is one of those guys. Come on up, Paul.
Yeah.
I called Brother Paul, and I said, we need a speaker for huddle this week, and it was last week. So he didn't have a lot of time, but he said, well, let me pray about it. And I said, well, God told me to call you, so. No pressure. But thanks be to God. Paul is a man of God. He's a pastor at the Carpenter's House up on North 31, or is it 931? I don't know which one's which.
North 31.
It's north on 31. Anyway, I'm just so thankful for Paul. He's a true brother, and I got, I think, two or three guys that come to huddle today because you're here, and I don't think they've ever been here, and maybe they'll come back after.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. One of them, and I'm not going to mention his name, but
I'll get the initials. Phil Button.
Okay. They had a bet several years ago that involved the Yankees, and Phil's never paid him the $20 he owes him, so. And he said he doesn't have it. He's retired. He doesn't have it. Maybe it's been forgiven. But anyway, I'm excited to see what God has to share today and how the Holy Spirit's going to speak through you to all of our hearts. I just want to lift you up for a second, and then I'm going to hand it over to you, brother. Father God, thank you first and foremost for your presence in our lives today. Thank you for your presence in the air we breathe and the people we get to meet and hear and see, and that you bless us with every day and you put in our path. And Paul's one of those guys for me. He's made a difference in my life, and I'm just so thankful that he's a man of God and he's come to share the word. I pray that you'll fill him with your spirit. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thank you, God, for what he's going to share. Open the eyes of our heart. God, open the eyes of our heart. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. First of all, it's an honor to be here. He's right. He pulled that on me, the God thing. He's also right about butts on me, $20. Today, I wanted to talk about what we're leaving behind and what we're going to. I knew that most of the men that are here would be my age or near. I didn't know Stan. Where is Stan Ridlin? You grew up on East Sycamore, didn't you?
My grandparents did.
Yeah. Your grandparents?
Uh-huh.
Well, they were neighbors of my parents.
Yeah,
Brown House. Yeah, that was kind of neat to hear your name. I'd like to have your book, too. If I get a chance, I'll buy it. Legacy. So many times we think of legacy of things we're going to leave behind, whether it's a house, whether it's a business, whether it's money. But today I want to talk about what kind of legacy we leave on earth. Most of the guys sitting here today, if my eyes aren't completely gone, 20 or 30 years ago aren't going to be in this room. And so many times when you get our age, or at least mine, I'm 74, you kind of think you've went to church all your life, you've done things for the church, you've worked in the church, you've done things in the community, you've come to huddle, and it's time to get comfortable. It's time to stop. Let some of the younger guys pick it up. I mean, there's only so much a man can do, right? The scripture I'm taking today out is out of John 21:3, and Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the other scriptures out of Job where it says your latter will be greater than the first. You see, I believe that men our age have a responsibility, and it's one of the big problems in the modern church today. Because we don't take the time to get with younger men or young married men, men that may have three or four kids and they're working and trying to make it and they're struggling and they've come to Jesus Christ and we love that, but then we just leave them on their own. And when I talk about sharing with those men, I'm not talking about a group like this. I'm talking about one-on-one. Getting with someone. Say, hey, let's go to lunch. Or let's go have a cup of coffee. And then saying, what's going on in your life? How's things going? How's your work going? How's the family? And then as they begin to talk about what's going on in their life, most of us, we call it wisdom. But I'm telling you guys, we're just old. We got a lot of experience. But we can feed into those men. A good friend of mine, Jeff Russell, pastors here in town, I asked him one day, what are you up to? He said, I'm discipling those to disciple those to disciple those when I'm not here. And we as men, older men, have really let down on that because we don't think they want to talk to us. Now, I jotted it down and ended up being, and I wanted to make this a short talk so you had more time to discuss, but names just kept coming up. There's people that's fed into my life. First of all, my father, J.A. Sutherland. A lady by the name of Jessie Brandt that prayed for me, the reason I'm here today. I know she prayed for me every day of her life that she was conscious. Lived in Pinellas Park, Florida. Jim Butcher has poured into my life. He showed me what a gentleman is. Amen. That you can take viewpoints that are different than other people, but you're always a gentleman when you do it. People that affected my life, Bill Butts. Bill and I grew up together. He was kind of my hero. He's the best little league baseball player I ever seen play. But we were in church one Sunday, and we went to an old-time holiness church. I don't know whether you guys even know what that is. It can get rough. I spoke at the Great Banquet once, and I said, by the time I was 18, I knew every sin to send you to hell and couldn't wait to do it. Because it sounded like fun compared to our church. But one day, Phil may not even know this. I don't know whether I ever told him. Phil got a job at Mills Drug Store. Down on the corner, I think, of, what was that, Washington and
Maine? And Marklin.
Maine and Marklin, okay. And we were sitting in church one day. He made $12 that week. And he was putting $1.20 in the offering. I said, what are you doing? He said, Paul, I don't understand it. I said, what do you mean? He said, I put this $1.20 in, and the rest of the money goes for it. We neither one was what you'd call born again Christians at the time. And I never forgot that. And it's came true in my own life. You see, you never get too old to serve. You may serve in a different way. You may not be able to go out and physically do the things you used to do. But you can serve. I'll tell you a story. There was a book written, and I can't think of the guy's name. It was from this area, though. Plan A, there is no plan B. God planned on us. There's no backup. There was a lady who lived out on Strawtown Pike between here and Peru. And she was an invalid. And she couldn't, she was housebound. And you think, boy, what could she do? Well, she started writing to prisoners in prison. And she became grandma and mom. And then pretty soon, some of those prisoners' families started writing her back. And she lived right then. At last count, that little old invalid lady, she's probably dead now, was grandma to 25,000 people and had never left her home. And we can't take the time to spend with young men or middle-aged men or new Christians because we got old. Hey, baby, I'm just getting started. This is kingdom stuff. We need men that will be men. Quit thinking a man is somebody that's walking around. I thought that for years. Tough guys. Sometimes we think men, let me tell you about the jocks, okay? Here's one. I respect this man so much, but I told him just a while ago, I told Mikowski this one time. All you stars, us bums that were sitting on the end of the bench or in the stands, we don't have to have new hips yet. We don't have to have new knees. It ain't that. I'll let them do that. But Jim Butcher, Rick Gingrich taught me in my life you could be a businessman and still love people and still have boundaries. Stan Reber, he's not here today. He can't help it. He's got so much money, all he wants to do is fish. He thinks he's a fisherman. He's had a tremendous effect on my life. I ministered with Stan when he had prostate cancer, and at the time didn't realize I had it worse than he did. And then he ministered to me. Dr. Logan Sparling is one of my mentors, a great man of God.
Amen.
Dr. Gary Forbes, that used to be a pastor at Grace.
Yep.
Now, you wouldn't put me with both them guys. One of them's very conservative, and the other one's very liberal. But one thing that Forbes taught me, he was probably maybe the best speaker in the 20th century in the United Methodist Church. He said, Paul, always leave them wanting more, not wanting you to quit. So I'll try not to do that today. The clients at CAM, I used to be head of the board there, one of the greatest compliments I ever had in my life was when I'd walk up the steps of CAM and one of the clients would say, hi, Paul. They knew me as a man. They didn't know me as a pastor. They didn't know me as someone that was important. I was just a friend. And Ruth Lawson, of course. The Mother Teresa of Howard County, I used to call her. Other guys have just been nice to me. Jeff Shuck's one. He may be, by the time he dies, Jeff Shuck may be the greatest basketball player that ever played the Kokomo Indian because he just keeps getting bigger. You ever notice that? Chad Gabbard's sitting here today. Chad and I have been close over the years. Been in my house for Thanksgiving and Christmas. He's teaching me right now how a Christian man deals with adversity. And he's a hero.
Amen.
Howard Tyner, none of you know him. He's the best pastor I ever had years ago. And then I looked at a couple other people. Tim Nolan's here today, I think. I talked to him a while ago. I never met a sweeter man. Him and Mark Chambers, two of the great people. Kent Wilson's sitting back here. Bob Gray's not here today, but just been a great man for me. So here's what I want to get down to. Jesus told him he'd meet him in a week. I'm trying to watch my time here. And he didn't show up yet. So what did they do? They did what was comfortable. They were fishermen. Now, I'm not a fisherman. I fish for men, but I don't do any part of fishing for fish, and I live right on the reservoir. I like to watch them go out and fish. You know, I sit on the front porch, go boys. So they'd been out all night, and they come back, but they're comfortable. They don't have any fish, really, but they're comfortable. They've been out there thinking about him feeding the 5,000 and rising from the dead when Lazarus was raised. Oh man, I hear that in church all the time. The good old days. But revival's coming. You know how long they've been saying that? Let me tell you, the final harvest is here. They're not going to be interested in miracles and wonders and all that stuff. That was, you know, it just amazes me. People go to church. Jesus did that for people that didn't believe. We got to do it to think we had a good church service. Our faith is that we. That had nothing to do with this sermon. It was free. Many of us sitting here, we go to church. We go on Wednesday night just to have it. We even go to a men's group, or we come to huddle. I don't want to ask you this. How many people have you led to Christ this year? You say, well, that's not what I do. Then God might as well take you home. You're no use to it. The only reason we're here is to build the kingdom of God. We're plan A. And there's not a man sitting here. I'm telling you, not a man sitting here that there isn't somebody that left for Dick Sanborn to call them and say, hey, you want to go have coffee? That man's got so much information in him. And every one of you are the same way. So here's the question I'm leaving you with to talk about. Which side of the boat are you going to throw your net at? You're not done. Your ladder will be greater than the rest. Thank you very much for having me. God bless you.
All right, guys, begin your discussion.
We're going to say we have